Scripture reading this morning comes from the first chapter of Genesis, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, they were created. Male and female, they were created. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And it was so. God saw everything that had been made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, by a word you created all things. And now may your word, living and active, create us anew this day, making us once again in your image. Amen. Your nativity scene is a lie. So says Jonathan Merritt, a religion news reporter. Merritt says that if your presentation of the Holy Family features people who are fair-skinned and blue-eyed, then your nativity scene is a lie. It's a trend, he says, that took off in the mid-19th century. Of course, Jesus and his family were darker-skinned. They were Middle Eastern Jews. But the transformation of Jesus to white made him a cultural icon of white power. It's serious, Merritt points out, because it reinforces that damaging narrative that says that lightness represents purity and righteousness, and darkness is linked to sin and evil. Now, let's be honest. We all tend to create mental images of God and Jesus that work for us. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It allows God to be accessible to everyone, regardless of ethnicity or gender or nationality or background. But we need to be careful to remember that we are created in God's image and not just limit God to our own. That takes us up to this morning's scripture reading, these beautiful words from Genesis 1. In the interest of time, I didn't read the whole chapter, but it's beautiful poetry depicting how God takes formlessness and void, tohu vabohu are the Hebrew words, and fashions it into this amazing blue-green planet. You know those words well. It was good. It was good. It was good. It was very good. One rabbi calls Genesis 1 a hymn to biodiversity. God creates fruit-bearing trees of every kind and vegetation of every kind. God makes creeping creatures of every kind and winged birds of every kind. God creates animals of every kind and wild beasts of every kind. And by the time God creates Adam, the earth creature, we can almost hear what comes next, that God creates human beings of every kind. Except we don't. We don't hear that at all. The refrain is missing, and it's not a mistake. It's a deliberate way of saying that there are no different kinds of human beings. We are all made equally in God's own image. In fact, the Mishnah, the oral tradition of the Torah, And the rabbis teach there that God created Adam singly so that no one can say to another, my father was greater than your father. Theologically speaking, we are all descended from one God. And humanly speaking, we are all descended from one God. And lest there be any doubt about it, the writer of Genesis goes out of the way to stress that male and female, God created them. Sexism and misogyny are just like any other form of bias. It is a desecration of God's name. Maybe you've seen The Boy in the Striped Pajamas on Netflix. It's a historical drama about 2 8-year-old boys. Bruno, the son of the commandant of a Nazi concentration camp, and the other, Shmuel, a Jewish prisoner in the camp along with his entire family. Bruno's parents don't want their son to know what the camp is. They call it the farm. And that's what Bruno thinks. The striped uniforms are the farm workers' pajamas. One day, the two little boys meet at the fence. They talk, shyly at first, gradually becoming friends. They go on, and one day they play checkers through the fence. Bruno begins to bring food to his friend Shmuel, who is always hungry. When Bruno finally becomes aware of what's actually happening on the farm, that the workers are prisoners and that they are being put to death, he brings the information to his older sister, who has become an avid Nazi sympathizer. Bruno asks, but they are people, just like us, aren't they? Well, actually, no, his sister says. They are not people in the same way we are. Not in the same way we are. Words like that absolutely break God's heart. If anyone tries to tell you that some other person is less valuable to God than you because of their ethnic heritage or their religious views or how they speak or whom they love or the color of their skin, if anyone ever tries to tell you that someone else is less valuable, let me say this very clearly. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and I mean it. Last October, I was with my clergy colleagues in Minneapolis, and we had the opportunity to hear from a man named Jim Bear Jacobs. Jim Bear is a member of the Mohican Nation. He's an ordained minister who works for the Minnesota Council of Churches. And last week, as protests escalated around the country, Jim Bear wrote an open letter to white clergy. He said, "You are feeling an impulse to pray and appeal to God for peace." And he said, "I want you to consider not praying for peace. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but don't dismiss me yet. In the midst of unrest, we often appeal for peace. But what is it that we mean by peace?" And he goes on to explain that law and order seems like peace to many of us, but it is definitely not peace for communities of color. Law and order is based on the Constitution, the same Constitution that codified into law that some people were of less worth than others. That Constitution had to be amended to say that human beings are not property. The Declaration of Independence said all people are created equal, but for almost the first century of this nation's existence, slaves were only considered 3/5 of a person. The Constitution and the system of laws that grew from it work great for some of us, but make no mistake, they were never meant to protect black and brown people. Jim Bear says this: when white people cry for peace, it is too often an appeal to silence black anger to make room for white comfort. We don't need that kind of peace. We don't need things to return to normal. Normal is what got us here. We need leadership that will bravely face the truth of white privilege and commit to change it. We need to get comfortable with discomfort. We need many things, he says, but we do not need superficial peace. Imagine what it would look like if we took Genesis 1 to heart. To say that we are all created equally in God's image, male and female, black and white and brown, gay and straight, rich and poor, Christian and Jew and Muslim, and every other iteration you can come up with. Imagine if we could look at one another and see the face of God. We have a long way to go towards realizing that vision. And to our shame, religion has often ended up on the wrong side of this struggle. Beware of believers of any faith who imagine that God hates all the same people they do. Our sisters and brothers of color have shouldered the burden of racism in this country alone for far too long. It is time for the rest of us to step up. Now, I recognize that that's a lot easier to say than it is to do. But white people, we have work to do. We need to listen and to learn and to educate ourselves about the experience of black and brown people in this country without assuming that everyone else's experience is just the same as ours. And so this morning, we want to offer a way to do that. The Adult Education Committee and your pastors would like to challenge all of us to participate in a 21-day race equity challenge. For 21 days, I want to ask you to do one action each day that will further your understanding of power or privilege or oppression or equity. There's a website available with excellent links and suggestions, as well as a chart you can download to mark your progress. Some of the options are reading, some of them are podcasts, some of them are very short videos. It might be personal reflection or community contact or even just noticing the world around you. The challenge is to do one thing every day for 21 days. That's how we build new habits. And the world desperately needs the Church of Jesus Christ to develop habits of equality and diversity and inclusion. We've included that information in the bulletin. It's also posted on our website. I hope that you will join us. You know that in many faith traditions, there's a practice during the worship service of passing the peace. That is, at some point, worshipers turn to one another. One person will say, "Peace of Christ be with you," and the other replies, "And also with you." But in the Anglican Church of Central Africa, there's a different practice. When it comes time to pass the peace, people in the church turn and look at one another, look them in the eyes, and say, "I love the face of Christ I see. I love the face of Christ I see." That is our goal, and that is our prayer. I love the face of Christ I see. Amen.